Well, thank you to Dee and Jimmy. They have really worked with the 8:30 service, and as they work for this 8:30 service, they've also worked with this group. And they sounded pretty good when they first started, and they get better every week, I think. The balances are working, and they are really good to listen to what we have to say, and sometimes we tell them they're not singing loud enough or smiling enough, or they just take it all in stride. So we appreciate all the work that's been put in with all of the ones that sing, the music, and all the ones that take part in that. Bonnie has been responsible with the youth to get them in, and now they're here playing and using their talents. So we appreciate that very much. As we said, today is a special day, and I'm going to get the children, if they would, what children we have, if they will all come up to the front for a second. All the children. Come right up here and sit right here. I know we got some, so I want y'all to do something special for me this morning, okay? Now I'm going to put them on the spot. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, okay? What's today? What?
Mother's Day.
And we were all nice to Mother this morning. How many fixed breakfast for Mother this morning? Mothers? How many's going to fix lunch for them? How many's going to take them out to eat for lunch? Are they going to look around at Dad and say, Dad, are we taking them out for lunch? Today is a special day for mothers, and mothers are really special, aren't they? And so we want to do something really special for them today, okay? So what I would like for you to do, first of all, I want you to stand up and turn around and look and say, Mothers, would you please stand? All right. Would all mothers please stand for a little bit? And now, what I would like for y'all to do is simply this. I would like you to take a flower to each mother. It doesn't have to be yours, but each one that's standing, and make sure that everyone that's standing gets one of these flowers. Okay? Can y'all do that? Easy now. I got plenty of them, so we'll get sure that everybody gets one. There you go. And when you get through that one, come back and I'll give you another one. You're getting fast. Here you go, Thomas. Oh, easy there. Go give it to that lady right over there. I believe that is it. Everybody take care of? All right. Now, one last thing. Turn around and face all your mothers again. And let them know how proud you are by saying, Happy Mother's Day!
Happy Mother's Day!
All righty, you can be seated. Thank you very much. We do appreciate that. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Many of us know this story, have read this story, but we're going to go ahead and read it anyway. If you did not bring your Bibles, there's Bibles in the pew. There is also the scriptures are on the screen, so hopefully you can see that up there. Verse 1 says, On the third day, a wedding took place at Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Dear mother, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. As we think about this passage of Scripture this morning, I've entitled it Mary's One-Line Sermon. This one sentence that she has told these servants is so powerful if we would take a look, few moments and just look at it. And we know that the saying has been said that it said behind every great man there is a great wife, but we need to change that to say behind every great man there is a great mom. I know how much I appreciate my mom. I know as a teenager I didn't appreciate her as much as I should have. There were times that I looked at her and said, when I grew up, I'm not raising my kids like you. And a few things like that. But as I grew up and I had children, I found out what? I was raising them just like Mom and Dad did. And my kids have told me the same thing. They were not going to raise their kids the way that I raised them. And guess what? They probably will. But anyway, as we look at this one-line sermon this morning, I'm afraid that I am not going to be like Mary. Mine is not going to be one line, but it will be quite a few lines. So we will not hold that against me or Mary, either one. But we know that many mothers have one-liners. My mother had these to say several times. In Revelation 19, we see the coming of the justice when she would look at me and says, "You wait till your father comes home." I knew I was in great trouble. And then we see in the sermon on Luke 2, the nativity scene, when I would walk into the house, she would look at me and say, "Were you born in a barn?" For not closing the doors, because I like to leave doors open. And then in Matthew 28, we see internal or international missions. There are children starving in India or Africa when I wouldn't eat my food. And then in Isaiah 53, that famous saying that many of you have probably heard, "This is going to hurt you, me more than it's going to hurt you." Powerful ones. And then the one that she really hit me on was Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man. "You want your allowance and people in hell want ice water." No matter what, she had that. And there are many others that I could share with you too. You know, if everybody else jumped off the bridge, are you going to jump off the bridge too? Those types of one-liners that meant so much to us. And we see and realize that in John chapter 2, verse 5, this is the only recording that we have of Mary that she is actually giving a command, an actual statement that is she's making. And we also realize in John chapter 2 that this is the only time after that she is quoted saying anything. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we look at that last phrase that she had on there, I'd like to break it down into three pieces, if I could, this morning, and see a parallel that will help us. We note that, first of all, that she and her son Jesus and his disciples and all of them were at a wedding. Now, we've all been at weddings, and hopefully they were enjoyable weddings, and afterwards there were festivities and whatnot, and in this one it was. Now, in those days, they had a habit of when they served wine, they would bring out the very best of the wine. And as people were beginning to feel good, then they would start bringing out the less wine, the cheap wine, so to speak, the ones that wasn't as good as the beginning. But it was a very thing that you had, and to run out meant that you did not plan very well for your party. And so Mary was there, and she looks and she sees this is what happened. And she opens and she goes to Jesus and she says to it, "We are out of wine." And Jesus is saying, "Well, what do you want me to do? My time has not come yet. Why do you want me to do anything?" And we see here that Mary knows from the very beginning that this son of hers is very special. In fact, she really knows, and we're going to see more in depth, that not only is her son Jesus, but her son is Jesus, the Son of God. And she knows that. And so we see that in the very first point, she says, "Do whatever he says." And we see that very first point, it says simply this, "Whatever," or "whatsoever" in the King James. "Whatsoever he says, do it." And as we look at that, we see that Jesus has been there from the very beginning of existence. He was there when God created the heavens and the earth. He was there when God looked at him and he said, what? "Let us make man in like image." But even without seeing a miracle, she has not seen it. Jesus has not done anything at this point to make recognition to himself. Mary knows that this man, this son of hers, is special. And we see in Luke 1:32, Gabriel comes down to Mary and he says, "He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David." And we see also in Luke 2:30 and 32, Simeon says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which I have been prepared in sight of all nations, a light of revelations to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people of Israel." She knew he was the Son of God. And so she looked at the servants and she said, whatever he says, it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of this. It's whatever he says. It doesn't matter what he says. Don't question it. Do it. And as we think about that this morning, Mary is talking to us also. Whatever he says, do it. As I think about that, I think about my own life. Whatever he says, do it. And my wife has had a privilege to be at the women's meeting last night. She was the speaker. And for the last month, I have had to live with an upset, disgruntled, can't seem to get it together wife that was trying to get a little speech together. And I kept saying, "Dear, it's no big deal." "Yes, it is." I said, "No, it's not. It's over with. It's done." And she looked at me last night and I said, "Well, how did you feel about it?" She says, "It's done. It's over with." And she looked at me and she says, "I'm going to look at God and tell him, don't ever let me have to speak and preach like you do." And I said, "Why?" She says, "I can't do that. I don't see how you do it every week." I don't do it every week, folks. God does. I can't believe that God wanted me up here. And probably sometimes I still feel that way. I don't know why God wanted me up here. I don't know why God couldn't have used somebody better, somebody that could speak better, a better speaking voice, somebody with more zeal, somebody that had a better vocabulary than I had, somebody that was an orator. Why didn't he get somebody like that? It's because of whatever he says, do. Now, one of the things that we have a problem with is simply this. We are afraid that he is going to say do, and he's going to say, "Sell your house, quit your job, become a missionary, and go to Africa and live in a dirt hut and be my missionary." We're afraid of that, aren't we? He might call us to do that. But that's not necessarily what he wants for us. What he wants right now is for us to just be willing to do that. Are you willing to do it? Doesn't mean you're going to have to do it. Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? These young people getting up here singing, willing to do what God wanted to do. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy to get up and preach every Sunday. But what is even harder to do is to live that Christian life in this world, isn't it? That's what it is. Are we willing to serve God? Are we willing to be a witness for God in this community? Now, I rode around a little bit yesterday, and we hit some of the outside communities. A little place called Crockett. You know, we just blinked our eyes and almost missed it. But one thing I noticed was there were little ballparks in all these different communities. And there were bunches of cars around the ball field. And there were little kids right on down, right on up, playing ball. And all of them were there together. Now, if you've raised kids, you've probably done the same thing. I did it. We did it with baseball. We did it with football. We did it with soccer. Then my oldest son went to volleyball, and the youngest one went to band. But I can remember on more than one occasion where my wife was at one side, and I was on another field. And at halftime, we'd switch. And then I can remember the same thing One would be playing in the gym and volleyball. One would be there watching that one. The other one would be out here with band. And then we would switch and run back and forth because we loved our kids. And this is what we learn to do, is be willing to do. And when we do this, we become a witness in those areas, don't we? Now, I have seen some irate parents. And as an umpire, I have thrown a few of them out of the park because of their ugliness over a bad call or something like that. Now, when I was in seminary in Texas, we had a church softball team that was playing in a softball league. Not a church league, but just a league. Perfect opportunity to be a witness. But instead, we had a couple of deacons that were competitive, and their competitiveness got ahead of God's work, and some of the words that came out of their mouth were not godly. Some of the attacks on the referee, umpire, was not friendly. What kind of witness was that? So you see, everything we do, we have to look at God and say, I am willing. Whatsoever, whatever you want me to do, God, I will do it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And God, through him, the amen, is spoken by us in the glory of God. What qualifier can we put on his righteousness? None. There's no qualifications we can put on that, can we? God was perfect in every way. Now, our church is in the process of finishing up. And part of what we're doing is put qualifications. If you're going to work in a position in church, if you're going to serve in a position in church, how do you serve it? If you've never done it before, what do you do? So we're coming up with ministry guidelines. We have qualifications for deacons. We have qualifications for a pastor, don't we? We have qualifications in our jobs. We have qualifications in everything we do. But we cannot put any qualifications on God. There are none that we can do. And Mary saw that. And so she said, whatsoever. The second point we see, he tells you. Whatever he tells you. Now, I had what my mother called a dumb look. And I perfected it pretty good because I stayed in trouble. Now, I'm not a bad kid. I like to describe myself as being curious. Ever been curious? The curious got you in trouble? I was that way. And that dumb look was what Mom said would go in this ear and usually come out this ear. I'd get punished for something that I did and then go right out and do the same thing again. That's not too awful smart, is it? You would learn from your mistakes, is what we're supposed to. But as children, we don't do that. And we see that whatever he tells you, we need to listen when God speaks to us. And we see that Mary recognized the power of Christ when she looked at the servants and says, whatever he tells you, whatever he tells. And we see that she knew this because she recognized it when Gabriel spoke. But also in Luke 2:47. She knew that everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. At the age of 12, he sat in a temple with all of the religious leaders, and they were amazed at what he knew. And she knew, Mary knew as the mother of this son, that he was special. Mary knew that this believer in Christ, whatever his word was going to be, it was going to be perfect for the need of that moment. You and I, when we need miracles in our lives and we ask God for it, we know that it's not going to be halfway, right? My dad, bless his heart, is good at building things. But there were some times that he did some things that he really couldn't help. We worked on a car. We tore the motor down, pulled it out, tore it down, and put it back together. It was my car. And we were all excited about it. And we turned the switch, and all we could get was a ear, and a backfire. Except it didn't come out the rear of the car. It came up through the carburetor. And the next thing you know, there's a big old flame coming up. And what does Dad do? He grabs some of that stuff you throw down on the floor for grease, and he throws it at the car, and you know where it went, down the carburetor. Which meant what? Tear the car, the engine down all over again. So you see, he didn't exactly do it perfectly. Jesus does everything perfectly. We don't. Now, I love my mom and I love my dad dearly. They're the greatest influence in my life. And even though they're getting old, I take every chance I can to get out of here and get down there to spend time with them. Because I know they're not going to be here too much longer. But I do know this. The one thing that they did do right was to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and share that with me. And this is the same Mary is doing. She is telling them. And she knows that he is perfect because she knows in John chapter 3 verse 1, through him many things were made without him knowing was made. There were things that were made. We know that he said, you know, in the beginning, God would say, let it be. Let us have earth. Let us make this. Let us make that. The sun, the moon. Let us make people, the animals. And he verbally spoke it, and it was done. And people knew that. Jesus created this world with his words. Jesus conquered this world with his words. Revelation 19 tells us that one day heaven will open and Jesus, the conquering king, will return. Verse 13 says, he will be clothed with a vestal dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And verse 15 says, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, his powerful conquering word. And verse 21 says, the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. So when Mary spoke of whatever he tells you, she knew that she spoke of the greatest power in the universe. Whatever. Whatever he says. And then the third point we see is do it. Do it. There were some things that my mom and my dad asked me to do, or should I say, told me to do, and it was simply, do it, period. And those, no, mom, dad didn't want to hear it. She said, do it, she meant do it. And this is the same thing. She is telling these servants, no matter what Jesus says, do it. How bizarre it may sound, just do it. And you got to admit, going down and getting water and bringing it back and setting it there and say, just pour. Sounds kind of ridiculous. You would at least want him to say some abracadabras or something like that across the water jugs, right? But Jesus didn't do that. All he simply said was to do what? Go get it and bring it back and pour it. And it was wine. Just do it. Jesus takes care of the rest of it, doesn't he? They had to believe. And we see that same thing today in our own self. We see that God will take and do these miracles in our lives each and every day if we would just do it. If we would just trust him. If we would just follow him. If we will just obey him, he will provide for us. He will turn us into great Christians if we will do it. Now, we have heard glorious truths of grace, forgiveness, and mercy preached so much. And I say hallelujah to that. But we also see that we fall short because we forget about the truths of salvation. We forget truths like obedience, truths such as submission and surrender. We stand here on Sundays and we sing some of those traditional hymns. I surrender all to him I give. Did we? How about your offering? Was it sacrificial given this morning? Did you think when you put the money in the plate, you were thinking, now how am I going to pay my bills next week if I do this? How am I going to buy food for next week? if I put my money in the offering? I don't think so. How many of us have given up time to go visit with somebody, to share the plan of salvation with someone? My son teaches me this a lot. He has a tendency to do things that I wouldn't do, like picking up hitchhikers. And then he gets an opportunity. God opens the doors for him to share. He picked up one boy one day. And when he got through with this kid looked at Ben and he says, "God sent you. You're my angel. And I need to make things right with my parents." And I thought, wow, that would not have happened if it had been me. I'd have been too busy. I would have had a place to get to, and I wouldn't have had time to stop and pick him up. Plus, I've been taught it's not safe to do it, right? But Ben did it, and God used him in a great and mighty way. So Mary just said, do it. Whatever he says, just do it. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what he says, or do what it says. And so that's what he's calling us this morning to do. To do what he's called. Whatever he tells us, do it this morning. Whether it's to serve in the church, whether it's to preach, whether it is to be a lay preacher, an evangelist, a singer, a musician, a Sunday school teacher, a witness, an encourager, it doesn't matter. Just be willing to do it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the words of Mary, and to see that these words were so powerful that she spoke with confidence to her servants, knowing that whatever Jesus said was going to be powerful. And Father, we thank you that you still speak to us this day through people, through yourself, through scriptures, and through circumstances. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.